144th Psalm. I hope this, I put all this together right. Yesterday was really a busy day from start to finish. And yesterday afternoon went to a graveside service. A dear lady, a friend of ours over there in Woodland. Matter of fact, it's the first family that we really got to know very well. After we moved over there, got to know the lady real close. Sweet, beautiful lady. I hope somebody, because this will probably go out here, and I don't know what kind of playback you get on it. But, she wasn't of our faith, though she did appear to me to be of the faith of Christ. That's the important thing, isn't it? The faith of Christ. That's what saves a person, the faith of Christ. But anyway, she, 93-year-old, she went on to be with the Lord this past, I guess it was Friday, Saturday. No, Friday, no. Wasn't yesterday, it was Thursday. Huh? I'm not sure. It was maybe a little bit earlier in the week than that. She had a son, older son, that was in, had eight children, four girls, four boys, all of them way up in years. And so I say she was 93 year old. And, but anyway, they had to wait on one of the boys to get in here from Missouri, I believe it is. And so it delayed the funeral a little while. But she, I visited with her quite a few times, pretty regularly. She's got bedridden with her illnesses in her final days and still had pleasantness. That pleasantness was always with her, you know. And when we pray, when I go visit with her, I, of course, always enjoy to do that. But anyway, she loved God. I believe she loved the Lord with all of her heart and raised that family in a biblical sense. Those children was raised up. Every one of them fine people. I'm talking about just outstanding. And but anyway, she... She loved her family. She loved her family, loved her children. And she went to school over at Jacksonville State. She got her college education, got a teacher's degree. And she taught for 1 year, and it was hindering her from doing a mother's job with her children. And so she dropped that. Didn't want to, but she did. She felt her responsibility was first and home. So she's a beautiful picture of Proverbs 31, really, that virtuous woman there. But anyway, we went in to that service, and she enjoyed that immensely, and some of the things that were said about her. Of course, the funeral service was held in the funeral home there in Weedowee, and it was all arranged, and those, she had a pile of grandchildren. And every one of those grandchildren had something written up that they wanted to read and tell about their grandmother and the great-grandchildren, of course. But it was a good day there, and we spent a lot of time there. And didn't get back in home to get things going again on this message here. I finally, I don't know where it wasn't coming out just exactly right. So I finally just closed up my Bible and put up my notes and went to bed. And I said, well, whatever the Lord got for you has for the people, he'll have it, you know. But anyway, settling this psalm here, says, blessed be my rock. This is a first cousin to Psalm 18. And a lot of it's repetitious of Psalm 18, which written by David. He said, blessed be the Lord my rock, Jehovah my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. And then he goes into this statement. He said, my loving kindness and my fortress. Go back into Psalm 18. He says, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and the one in whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me. And then he says this, and this comes out of Psalm 8. And he says, Lord, what is man? What is man that you're mindful of him? The son of man, that you would be mindful of him. Well, he says, man's like a breath. It's nothing but a breath. And he says that also in Psalm 8, I'm sorry. He's a breath, just a breath. Not much to him. You breathe pretty quick, don't you? It's gone. You breathe in, you breathe out. And that air that you breathe in, you breathe out quickly. And it's gone. Sends into the air, and after a while, who knows but God where it went. And so that's man. He's not much. Without God, he's absolutely nothing at all. Nothing at all. Man thinks awful highly of himself, doesn't he? We live in a day now, my soul. All the braggadociously. Boastfulness and the glory that's acclaimed goes to man. To man. They vie constantly between themselves for power, wanting more and more and more power. And yet, what power they receive, they never acknowledge where they come from. This psalm goes on and talks about what God, not because man's worthy of it, but he's endowed him with certain blessings and benefits. And he receives, we never give him thought of where this come from. It's the day we're living in. And that's the day that we live in. What is man? What is man? I want to talk about that just a little while. You know, the question, really, if you look at it carefully, denies any right whatsoever that man might claim of the regard that God might have for him. He didn't have that by right. If God regards him for anything or with anything, any kind of blessing or benefit whatsoever that God might endow him with, man don't deserve that. We deserve nothing from the Almighty God. Not at all. Whatever we might receive is received by the grace of God, by the kindness, the undeserved favor that God might bestow upon us. No desert whatsoever. And this question here also asserts the great honor God has, nevertheless, regardless of whether man deserves it or not, he may, in fact, deserve the opposite of whatever God Almighty might bestow upon him. And this question seems to assert this great honor that God has nevertheless put upon him. And also suggests to me that the true reason of God's generous dealings with us as men is graciously out of his own heart, out of God's heart. Just graciously, he's pleased to do this, that, and the other for us. Not because we deserve it, just because he wants to do it. If he shows us a day of mercy, did we deserve that mercy? No. No, it's because he delights in showing his creatures mercy. The world certainly doesn't deserve what it's receiving today from the Lord. And I was talking to my brother this morning for a little while coming in. It's something I need to share with him. another cousin, or a cousin relative of mine, had lost a daughter a couple of days ago. I was relating the news to him about that. But we were talking. And all of a sudden, of course, you can't talk to people too long without getting into the situations that we all are acquainted with today. The things that are going on that affects each and every one of us. And brought it up and about the state of affairs. And he says, you know, whatever God's doing in our nation, he said, if it's bad, if it's judgment, whatever it might be, we deserve it because of our sinfulness, our wickedness, our self-centeredness, all that we are. We spend our time on ourselves, and that he said, well, you know, we deserve whatever God might be pleased to bring upon us. I said, you know, I said, you're right. And I said, if it was just a state or a nation, I said, I wouldn't have any problem agreeing with that at all. I said, but, I called his name. I said, but, you know, this thing now is a worldwide situation. Everybody's under the gun of God's curse, I guess we can call it that, with this pandemic. It's going throughout the earth. People dying by the millions. That's where we are today. And so the world might say, we might say the world deserves whatever curse that God, whatever judgment God might bring upon it, whatever he's doing. Wouldn't you say that? I don't know. We can't just say, well, because of our wickedness here, because the entire world's wicked. Man as a whole is wicked. And he's brought all this upon himself and well deserving of it. Whatever takes place. That's man. That's where we are. That's man. And so David asked this question way back over. I don't know exactly what the circumstances were in his day. But he had that question on his mind. What is man? And God is mindful of him. That God would pay him any mind at all. Think of him. Whatever the thought might be. Especially when he brings up these thoughts here about God endowing him with special blessings and gifts. Certainly not because he deserved it. Not at all. So obviously these things sort of came to mind here. In this implication of the becomingness of gratitude and humility. And then encourages us also, the most unworthy, to put their confidence in God. If God does this for men, that we might somewhat say, well, that fellow's worthy of that. He's a good man. He's benevolent. He does good for others and thinks of himself, thinks of others before he thinks of himself. Like this dear lady we were talking about a while ago that we visited the service for yesterday. She gave her life for others, completely so, especially her family. So we'd say, well, she's worthy. He's worthy. No, none of us are worthy of the least thing that God does for us. Because as men, as human beings, men and women, we deserve whatever the opposite would be that would come in a form of a blessing. Don't you think so? That's man. What is man? That's what David's question is. What is man? God would pay him any mind at all. Would pay him any mind at all. So all this we must come to a conclusion comes by the grace of God, doesn't it? If it's anything good, you know, we might ask the question, what was man as he came forth from the hands of the Creator? Well, I tell you what he was. He was rational. He was a rational creature. And he was responsible. God put a responsibility on him right off the bat there. He put everything under his feet, creature-wise, and he had a responsibility of being the caretaker of those under creature that he was to serve. And so, really, grace restores all that. If we come into the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and his redeeming love and his redeeming sacrifice for us, all of that that man was originally, that he fell from, was restored by the grace of God. Everything was absolutely and perfectly restored in the new creation. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And old things, whatever those things were, everything that he fell from and fell into, all those things, by the grace of God, passed away. Passed away from me. If you're saved here this morning, you have a relationship with the Almighty God, those things that you fell from and those blessings that you fell into were all by grace. Came to you by the grace of God. Understand what I'm saying? He was rational, responsible, immortal. And that comes in the work of salvation, the work of redemption. Immortality is bestowed upon us by the grace of God. You know, we'll die one day out here, but we'll live forever if we know Christ. Yeah, one day that poor, precious lady yesterday passed away at the age of 93. And since she was a mortal creature. But immortality she entered into because of knowing Christ. We can't get this across to people, can we? You have nothing without Christ. You have all with Christ. But why? Why forfeit that? Trying to seek these various things to build up self. Self is going to pass away. Just like this whole world is passing away. And without Christ, these people that's of the world will pass away with it. Nothing there. Nothing at all. And man, in his original state, was holy and happy. That's a marvelous thing, isn't it? To be holy and happy is a marvelous gift of the Almighty God. We were created that way originally. We lost all that when we fell in Adam's fall. But God, in his grace and kindness, when we come to Christ, has restored all that upon us. That's blessings that we've been restored to. Another thing I thought about, what is man? That's the question we keep emphasizing on here. What is man in his present condition? Well, he's without grace. Therefore, if he's without grace, if he's without grace, he's fallen. There you go again. He's fallen. Man, that means nothing. He's ain't nothing. He's like a breath that's gone. He's nothing. Nothing there. He's fallen. And then also, he's guilty. Guilty of whatever sin that he has committed against the Almighty, God, he's guilty of that. He's going to have to give an account of it sometime, somewhere out here, when he meets the Creator again, from whom he fell. He's sinful. My. That's what's going on today, isn't it? Sinfulness, sinfulness. Why is all this vying against one another for power and strength? These ideologies that's coming into the play now, that some of them frighten us, some of them we shrink from even thinking the least about them, because it's going to change our lifestyle. Overwhelmingly so. And where's he coming from? Out of sinful hearts. Out of sinful men. Out of men that's only seeking for themselves what will advance them in this old dying and perishing world. That's the ignorance of man. That's the ignorance of man. He doesn't have enough sense to realize that what he's vying for, what he's building for himself, is just like he himself. It's a perishing thing. It'll all go away. It won't be no more. It's all said and done. Very few people give thought to that, you know. And so, there it is. And then in that this present state, this present condition, he's miserable. Can't you see the misery around you? It's everywhere, isn't it? People are miserable. There's no real joy and happiness in the average person out here. Whatever little happiness and joy might find, it's spent for just a little while on time. It dissipates. It's gone. No more. You can't reach back there and pick it up and go with it again. It's gone. We always get together sometime and have a pretty good little time of fellowship or whatever you want to call it. You've done this time again. You leave, break up the party, and you. You're on your way. You say, we're going to have to do this again sometime. Well, you won't ever be able to do it again. It's whatever's been done and whatever has been experienced, you leave it behind. You never do the same thing again, do you? You might do something similar, but it's gone. That's time. That's life. That's man. That's man. He's just a passing thing in this whole world. So, there we have it. That's what we have if we stop and think about it just a little bit. Raise the question again. What is man if he believes? What is man when he comes to faith in Jesus Christ? What is he? Well, he's restored to the right relationship with God. That's the most blessed thing that I can think about, of coming to faith in Christ and being restored to a right relationship with the Creator. A right relationship with my God. Do you know anybody that's really interested in that? To have a right relationship with God? They never ponder the question. If they did, Steve, they'd be seeking Christ, wouldn't they? Because a right relationship with the Almighty God can only be had in Christ. And it can only be had as we come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the issue. That's the vital thing in life. And only by the grace of God do you ever come to see that and realize it. Nothing more important. Nothing more vital. Then to come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is to be restored to a right disposition toward God. We don't know many folks that have a right disposition toward the Almighty God. God comes first absolutely teetotally. First, if you have a proper disposition toward the Almighty God. Stop and think about that. Where are they? Where are they? Where's the number that have that restoration? Very few. Very few. And then also, I'd maybe add this to it. To believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to believe on Him and rest in Him, rely upon Him, a man comes to enjoy the influences of His Spirit in his soul. His Spirit in his soul. The Spirit of God Almighty, resting in the soul. My, my. What a benefit. What a blessing. What a restoration. And then, I'd add this. Imagine this come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is in the process of preparation for another world outside of this world. A restoration. That's what salvation is. Being restored into that original relationship with the Almighty God gives you an opportunity to make preparation for a coming world. A world outside of this world. I'm more excited about that right now, I guess, than I've ever been in all my life. You know, I think about more and more. I think about leaving this world and what you'll be coming into when you leave this world as a believer. In relationship with Christ in that proper sense. And I guess the only thing that I'm kind of reluctant about leaving this world is when I think about you. You're my people that I'll leave behind. The church militants, you'll be here for a little time more. But then I quickly think about, well, they'll be following on soon after. Won't be long that we'll follow each other right on in. And then we got, then I think about my precious family. Especially I thought about them much, much more in these troublous times, these perilous times that we're in right now. Think about leaving, my immediate family. Think about, I think about leaving these grandchildren and these great grandchildren now. Think about that. And so I'm just a little bit reluctant about turning loose. You know what I mean? I know God's going to take care of my family, but, sort of like old brother E.W. Johnson when, he's getting up in there. Years that I'm in now, and Miss Johnson was getting feeble, more and so, and I was talking to him one day about, we were talking about death, and he says, you know, Brother Terry, Brother Worthing, he goes, Brother Worthing, he said, I pray that the Lord, I pray that God would let me outlive Mildred, and he said, you might think that's strange. He said, but what it is, he said, I don't think nobody can take care of Mildred like me. And I think about that with y'all. And I think about that with my great ones now especially. I know y'all going to take care of them. But I kind of like to hang around to make sure the job being done. And so, you know, but outside of that, Lord, take me on. Take me on. Because I know overall that He's going to do a better job than I or anyone else could in watching after these that we leave behind. But anyway, these things come to my mind. What is man? What is man? Well, he's just a creature. God's endowed him with these thoughts. We think about them. These relation thoughts. And so forth. You know, probably that question's raised here, what is man? You know, it's a wonder above all wonders that ever the great God of glory should make such account of such a thing as me, as a man. Would make account of me. Why? He singled me out and made account of me. Why in the world did he elect me? Why did I receive the blessing of eternal election? Worthy, unworthy? No unworthy as I can be. Yet God took me into account. Took me into account. You know, it will appear, I think, if we consider what a great God the Lord is, what a poor thing man is. That same way, David introduces this psalm here. Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle, my loving kindness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and the one in whom I take refuge, who subdues my people unto me. And then he said this, Lord, what is man? What is man? In light of you, which words cannot describe. You can't multiply words deep enough and long enough and strong enough that would draw the distinction between you, O Heavenly Father, and me, puny man. Man who's described by being nothing more than a vapor, just a breath. Vanity of vanities, that's man, that's me. Vanity of vanities, that's me, that's you. Yet God took us into account. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? How blessed we are. I think about that. Old John Newton wrote this hymn. He put it in his hymn book that he put together, the Olney. That's a place there in England, just north of London, where he pastored all those many years. And he put together a hymn book called the Olney Hymn. And he wrote this, and it's in that book. He says, Now, what is man when grace reveals the virtue of Christ, our Savior's blood? Again, a life divine he feels, despises earth, and walks with God. He goes on and writes, and what is yonder realm? What in yonder realms above is ransomed man ordained to be? With honor, holiness, and love, no seraph more adorned than he. Nearest the throne, and first in song, man shall his hallelujahs raise, while yonder angels round him strong, and swell the chorus of his praise. Oh, man, he enjoys the influences of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Almighty God. God dwells with him. He dwells with God. Our being on earth is nothing but the habitation of the Almighty God, if we've come to faith in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Dual habitation. He's my habitation. And I'm his. I'm his and he's mine. As the songwriter said. He enjoys that influence. He's possessed of that blessed preparation that we just mentioned, the preparation for the heavenly world. And then what shall man be when he is admitted into heaven? What shall man be then? Well, he'll be free from sin, won't he? He'll be free from sin, he'll be free from sorrow. Nothing clinging to him whatsoever. Also, advanced to the perfection of his nature. That comes along with this redemption. Associated with angels, what about that? Near to his Savior and near to his God. That's what man will be if he knows Christ and when it's all over, said, and done. So I say it's above wonders. It's the wonder of wonders that the ever great God should make such account of such a thing as man. It will appear, if you know, if you consider what a great God the Lord is, what a poor, poor thing you as creature man are. What a great account. My, my. Thank the Lord. Be grateful for all of his kindness and all of his mercy. That God took account of you. All right, Steve.